Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, I read a story not too long ago in the LA Times. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. And it was about this young lady who she was born with a defect. She was born with one eye, and the other eye had just a socket there, no eyeball. Well, as she grew up, she was very sensitive about this, and so the family pulled their money together, and they bought her a fake eye. It was a glass eye. No one could tell the difference. It looked real, but she was always very subconscious about this. It affected her life. It affected her dating life, and now she's about 19 years old. She'd never had a date. She's sitting one night in Claim Jumper Restaurant all by herself, as she had done so many other nights. Well, while she was there, she began to have this attack, this nasal attack, and she started sneezing profusely over and over again. She's sneezing. And she sneezes so hard that the eye pops out and it flies over into the next booth. Well, this single guy who's sitting here, he's watching all this. He reaches out and grabs the eyeball midair, and kind of takes it back to her and gives her eyeball, and, you know, she puts it back in, and they meet. They start talking. They're both single. They start dating. And it's an amazing story the LA Times, you know, shares with us. And it was about a year later, they decide they're going to get married, this couple. And so they're in there talking to the pastor of the church. And the pastor said, I just got to ask you guys. You guys are amazing. How is it that you met? And she said, I don't know, pastor. He just sort of caught my eye. You see, the things we pastors have to do to keep your attention, that's really bad, but I want to talk to you today about your eyes, about your vision, about what you're seeing in life. You know, whenever a leader is trying to move a group of people toward God's preferred future, he or she will usually quote Proverbs 29:18. It's a familiar verse. It goes this way. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Would you say it with me? Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's in the King James Version. How cool is it that a 3,000-year-old book of the Bible speaks so clearly to one of the most relevant leadership topics of our day, which is vision? You know, most modern-day leadership gurus agree that vision is probably the most powerful weapon for you to have in your arsenal, your character arsenal. Today, entire courses are being taught at Harvard and Stanford universities about how to cast a hotter vision, a clearer vision, a more inspiring vision. And here is Solomon 3,000 years ago extolling the importance of vision. Isn't that cool? Kind of makes you proud to be a Bible-believing person, doesn't it? Except for one small little detail. What Solomon was actually talking about 3,000 years ago was a bit different than what the leadership gurus are talking about at Harvard and Stanford University. You see, when you read this verse in its latest, most scholarly translations, the verse is barely recognizable. This is what it says. Where there is no revelation, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Now, that intrigued me, so I did some digging to find out what was going on during the time that Solomon actually wrote this proverb. And I learned that this era of history was known as the prophetic age. Prophets like Eli and Samuel and Nathan were living as close to God as they possibly could, and God would speak to them. And when God would speak to them, they were responsible to go back to the people then and share with the people exactly what God had told them about the future of their lives. If the people listened to these prophets, things went well for Israel. If the people didn't listen to them, well, things didn't go so well. So with that little context in mind, let me read this proverb to you once again. Where there is no, say it, revelation, the people cast off restraint. Now, what was Solomon driving at nearly 3,000 years ago? Solomon was saying, hey, prophets, if it's your job to live close to God, close enough to hear his voice, and then share with the people what God wants them to do, then do your jobs well. Do your jobs excellently, prophets. Because if you don't, the people are going to miss God's direction for the future. They're going to cast off restraint, which means they're going to do their own thing in life. And usually that degenerates into all kinds of bad habits and behaviors. So prophets, do your job and do it well. Now, fast forward to the year 2018. Whose job is it today to live close enough to God, to get a word from God, and then live that word out? Whose job is that in the year 2018? Okay, some of you, this is not a trick question, all right? This is not like a little boy in Sunday school many years ago when he was, you know, the Sunday school teacher was talking and said, what's brown and furry and collects nuts for the wintertime? The little boy raises his hand and says, well, it sure sounds like a squirrel, but I know the answer is Jesus. All right, so this is not a trick question. Whose job is it today to live so close to God, to get a clear word from God and then live it out? That's our job, right? Jesus talked about this in John 10, 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. All my sheep, not just a certain class of sheep, not just pastor sheep or prophet sheep, all my sheep now have access to God through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can live close enough to God to get a clear direction for the future of our lives. And when we hear God's voice, we ought to follow it. That's what Jesus said. Now, you got to be careful when talking about, you know, hearing the voice of God. You know, the other day, I was in Safeway grocery store, and I had all my items checked out, and there was a little old lady in front of me, and she had a basket full of items, and she had checked them all out, and then she gave the clerk her credit card, and he ran the credit card, and it declined. I'm watching all this, and all of a sudden, I hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit saying to me, Luke, do something about this. And so I think you all know probably what I did. You know, she had a lot of items in her basket, but I helped her take all those items back and put them back on the shelf for her. No, I didn't do that. No. Sorry. You got to be careful about hearing the voice of the Spirit, you know. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes today about God's preferred future for your life. God's preferred future for your life. Let me ask you a couple questions. How are you thinking about the next 5 years of your life? Are you excited about it? Are you moving forward into it with a sense of great expectation and passion? Are you feeling maybe indifferent about it? Perhaps just sort of grinding out the days? Or maybe you don't think too much about your future at all. Maybe you're just sort of numb to the whole idea. It's kind of like the story I heard of a guy who was driving on the freeway one day, and he's been drinking. He is just so drunk. He's plastered. And a police officer pulls him over and said, sir, you're drunk. No, I'm not drunk. We'll walk the line. He's drunk, right? Well, just then on the other side of the freeway, a bad accident takes place. So this police officer says, you wait right here. You're under arrest. And he runs across the freeway, jumps over the median. He's attending to this accident. Well, this guy's thinking, this is like God's divine providence, man. This is my lucky day. So he just jumps in the car. He speeds home as fast as he can. He pulls into his garage. He shuts the garage door. He walks in and tells his wife, honey, I'm feeling so sick today. And I'm just going to go lay in bed. If anyone happens to come looking for me, just tell them that I've been in bed all day long. I've been sick. Well, about an hour later, there's a knock on the door. It's a police officer. And he says, can I please speak to your husband? And she said, well, he's been in bed all day long. He hasn't even left the house. Well, can I just talk to him? Sure. Well, leads him back to the bedroom and walks in. The man's laying in bed. And he says, sir, I arrested you about an hour ago. And the man says, you have me mistaken for somebody else. It had to be somebody. I've been here all day long and in bed. He said, well, can you please take me to your garage? Sure. So they walk in the garage, open the door, and there in the garage is the police squad car with the lights still flashing. That's pretty numb, you know. If Solomon were here in the flesh and blood today, I think he might ask about your future this way. Do you have a vision for your personal future? Do you, not the person sitting next to you, you have a fresh revelation from God about what the next 5 years of your life are going to be like? Because if you do have a fresh revelation from God, chances are you're pretty pumped up right now. You probably feel like you're living on a God-guided mission because you got all your energy focused on that. And it feels like, you know, there's something good happening in your future. But if you don't have a fresh revelation from God, that might explain to you why it may feel like something is dying a little bit on the inside. Because the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Now, that doesn't mean you just keel over and die one day. What it means is that your shoulders start to slump over time. And maybe your eyes get a bit duller. Maybe you don't have the energy you once did. You just want to sleep in the morning. And it just feels like something on the inside is perishing a little bit every day. Even though the circumstances of your life may seem fine to all those around you, you know there's something that's dying a little bit every single day. I know about this because this is the condition I found myself in back in the year of 2013. My dad had just handed the baton off to me to pastor what was then Phoenix First Assembly of God Church, the largest Assembly of God Church in the world. And all my friends were saying, Luke, you got it made. You're pastoring one of the largest churches in the world. But I didn't feel that way. I felt like something was sort of dying on the inside. The church was growing and things were going well, but personally, I felt like there was something missing on the inside. I didn't have the vocabulary at the time to even really define what was happening. But the truth is, I was lacking God's vision for my future. I was lacking God's dream. I needed fresh revelation from God about what I was supposed to be doing with the next, 20 years of my life, even though I was pastoring a great church. Can anyone here relate to what I'm saying today? Just needing God's fresh revelation in your life? I mean, some of you can think back into an era of your life when you had that fresh revelation from God, but you don't have it right now, maybe. And you can feel it. And the truth is, you're taking care of your business, you're coming to church, you're giving, and you're serving, but it just feels like something is dying on the inside. Because the Bible says, without a fresh revelation from God, the people perish. They just die a little bit on the inside every single day. And I was there, even though I was a pastor. I know how it feels. Now, in my situation, here's how God's fresh revelation came to me. We had a giant mountain right behind our church. We call it Prayer Mountain. And as a boy, I watched my dad every day go on that mountain, and he would seek God's direction for the future of his life in the church. He would take three things with him up on that mountain: a newspaper, a cup of Starbucks coffee, and his Bible. And he would spend the morning drinking coffee and reading the paper and talking to God on the side of that mountain, and mostly listening for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I said to myself, that worked for my dad so many years. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go on a 40-day fast, where I'm going to fast and pray on the side of that mountain. I'm going to seek God. So I went on a Daniel fast. I ate nothing but bird seed and twigs for 40 straight days. I went from 170 pounds down to 140 pounds. I was just very, very skinny. I lost all my weight. But on that mountain, God began to speak to my heart. I began to ask God, what do you see for then, what was then Phoenix First Assembly of God Church? What do you see for our future, God? I learned during that time that our church was going to be 100 years old in the year 2023. This is back in 2013. So I began to ask God, what do you see on our 100th year birthday? What are we going to be doing? What are we going to be like? And God began to download these things into my heart. Can I just share what God shared with me? In my mind, and this is not an audible voice, understand, but these strong impressions and promptings in my spirit that we're going to reach 50,000 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and add them to the church by the year 2023. We're going to be debt-free at the year 2023. My dad left me a real big church with a real big debt, amen. And we're going to be debt-free by the year 2023. We're going to renovate the front of our auditorium. And we're going to, at that time, we didn't have a beautiful lobby, even like the one you have here. We had a large 5,000-seat auditorium, so we needed a giant lobby to be added to the church. We were going to become known as the arts hub of the state of Arizona. Now, ASU and U of A, they're known as the arts centers of Arizona, but, the arts really began in the church world hundreds of years ago. The church brought the arts to the world. We're going to redeem the arts in our state and bring them back. And the last thing was, we're going to become a multi-site church. We had the one campus at the time, and we're going to just begin to reach our tentacles all across the state of Arizona. And one day, Arizona is going to be known throughout America as being a Christian state. Now, Somebody said, that's a pipe dream. That's never happened before. Well, states are known for stuff. I mean, Utah is known for being what kind of a church? What kind of a Mormon community, right? Texas is known for the oil and millionaires. California is known for the bad sports teams. No, I mean, they're known for great weather and Hollywood and those kinds of things, you know? A true Diamondbacks fan here, all right. But why can't there be one state in the United States of America known for, that's that state that where those people just love Jesus Christ with all their heart? I'm going for it. I don't care what anybody else says. I want them to put on my tombstone one day, at least he tried. Amen. We're going for it. During those 40 days, God downloaded this vision. It was so powerful to me. A vision I knew would fire me up for the rest of my life. I walk on the stage the next weekend and shared the dream that God put in my heart. And I mean, the rest is now history. I get chills when I talk about what's taking place. Because let me just tell you what happened with the arts. I told our arts team what God had shared with me. And they said, God has spoken to us already as well. And we have the blueprint already. I'll show you some pictures here. First of all, we already do a Christmas production that reaches 70,000 people over 17 performances during Christmas. But they said, we want to do a summer musical, like a Broadway summer musical. And so five years ago, we did Seussical, the musical, the first year. Go ahead and show these pictures here. And then the next one here, next year we did Mary Poppins. I mean, the whole Broadway musical, 8,000 tickets sold, you know, to our community. The next year, what was it? The Little Mermaid, we did that. This past year, we just did Annie, you know, that just happened a couple weeks ago. And already in just five straight years, we are already known as the arts hub of the state of Arizona. People are coming over. It's really amazing. That's what God did. I got to go quick, but we had one campus back in 2013. Look at this next picture here. And this is our Phoenix campus that we had, you know. And the next picture here, just a couple years later, God gave us a Scottsdale campus, beautiful 1,000-seat auditorium. 2 months after that, God gave us the Glendale campus, 70-acre campus out there, the 2,000-seat. And then next picture here, Colorado City. Let me tell you what that is. Does the name Warren Jeffs ring a bell to anybody? Warren Jeffs was that infamous polygamous leader who built a whole city on the border of Arizona and Utah. It was a polygamist community. He had 85 wives, many of them 13, 14 years old. His 65th wife escaped from that compound. She came to the Dream Center. Her life got changed. Just last year, the state of Utah awarded her, Warren Jeffs, he's in federal prison now the rest of his life, praise the Lord. Amen. But she awarded her his 10-acre compound where all 85 wives and hundreds of kids stayed. She gave that to us, and she said, would you start a Dream City Church and Dream Center in Colorado City? And so the place that was once used for trafficking, human trafficking, is now being used to rescue young ladies from human trafficking. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. And then you show the next picture here. This is our streetlight campus out in Peoria where we rescue these young ladies from human sex trafficking. It could go on. We just opened our Omaha, Nebraska just 2 months ago, a campus there. In just five short years, what God has done, from one campus to seven campuses, only God could do what God has done. Now, I just love bragging on God, amen, because no human being could do that. That was 5 years ago. And I have never, ever looked back. I don't carry a single regret for going up on that mountain and depriving myself of food and praying and seeking God for God's future. Because, friends, when you receive a fresh revelation from God about your future and you start living in it, it makes leaving stuff behind seem not all that sacrificial at all. Because you know that had you stayed in that old life, that old vision, you die a little bit every single day. But when you receive the new, fresh revelation from God, you can start to feel the power of God pulsating through your veins every single day. And you just know you're living in a God-sized dream. You really start then to live on the inside. Now, I'm not saying that living out God's vision for your life is going to be any easier. In my case, it was actually harder. I had to learn how to do the whole multi-site thing. I had to learn, we had to change the name of our church from a church that's known around the world to Dream City Church. That was a challenge. I had to learn how to raise money to build a new lobby, $8 million to build a new lobby in our church. I'm not saying that God's dream is going to be any easier. I'm just saying that that perishing, dying feeling goes away. And it gets replaced by a kind of adrenaline that pumps through your veins every day because you know that the God of the universe has invited you into a custom-designed mission, one that fits who you are and involves what you'd love to do in this life, and one that calls the absolute best out of you every single day that you stay on that mission. And when your head hits the pillow at night, you just sort of raise your hand and say, God, this is amazing. It's amazing what you're doing. Can we do this again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? And some of you are like, look, I've never had a revelation like that in my life. You mean there's a difference in, you know, the average Christian kind of life stuff and this God-guided life stuff? And the answer is yes. You can put in the church time, the serve time, the give time. But I want you to know, having a fresh revelation from God about your future is a game changer. It's so powerful. But at some point, you got to have the self-awareness as a human being to say, no, wait a minute. This average Christian life stuff isn't working for me anymore. This tidy little life, this 9-to-5 job isn't going to cut it for me. Something is missing on the inside of me. I'm dying a little bit every single day, and something needs to change. You just need fresh revelation from God. You just need a fresh vision from God. Anybody here interested in receiving a fresh revelation from God today about your future? Are you interested enough to pay the price? Are you interested enough to go to pray and fast for 40 days? And say, God, I want your revelation for my future more than I want to stuff my face with food. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say that out loud, did I? Do you want it enough to go off into the mountains somewhere? And when your friends ask you, why are you doing this? Say, because I want God's fresh revelation for the next 5 years of my life. Now, when you do this, sometimes God will radically change a person's life direction. It happens. Sometimes God conscripts people and just changes their future. But most likely what happened is God's going to affirm what you're already doing, but he'll give you a fresh vision for doing it a little differently with a little bit higher power. But you'll know the difference. We had this professional golfer in our church for many years. You'd all know his name if I mentioned his name. He's very famous. And he always talked about to me about wanting to quit the PGA Tour and become a pastor. And so I said, I think you need to keep playing golf. God's gifted you to play golf. And he goes, well, just let me preach. And I think you'll see that I should be a preacher and not a golfer. So we let him preach in our youth department. And after he preached, I said, you need to keep playing golf and not preaching. Amen. Because you ain't that good. You're not a very good teacher, you know. And I just calling a spade, right? So so he went into the season of praying and fasting, this vision-seeking period of his life. After many days, he came out and said, look, I know exactly what God wants me to do. He does not want me to leave the PGA Tour. He wants me to stay on the tour, but picture those 300 guys on the tour as like my little church. I'm supposed to shepherd those guys and disciple those guys and lead those guys to faith. Amen. But he said that was a powerful revelation to me. It changed the whole way that he did his work. See, every Christ follower who finally gets fed up with perishing and fired up to seek God for a fresh vision for their life, and they pay the price, and they come out on the other side with a fresh revelation from God, they would stand here on this stage and say, it's worth it. It's worth it. 100 times over again, all the prayer, all the solitude, all the fasting, it's worth it to receive a fresh revelation from God about your future. I'm going to wrap this up, but I get a kick out of how the Apostle Paul describes the difference between his old life, you know, where he had no vision at all, and then what happened after his Damascus Road experience when God gave him a fresh new vision for his future. Listen to how he describes it in Philippians 3 and verse 8. He said, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded, now catch this, everything else in the past, counting it all as garbage. One translation uses the word useless. The old King James uses the word dung. Do I need to describe what dung is, you know? But you ever feel that way sometimes laying in bed at night? That the sum total of all you've accomplished in life, when you look back, it's just like, what am I doing? It just feels sort of useless, like garbage. It's a terrible feeling to have. to lay in bed at night and wonder if your one and only life truly is making a difference. But then Paul talks about what happened after he got fresh revelation from God. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, he said, what was glorious back then has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. Wow. In other translations, he says, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it just goes on and on and on and on every single day of my life. One day when you receive a fresh revelation from God about your future and you start living in it, you'll use words like that to describe your life too. I promise you, you will. And I was, a few years ago, I was invited to Moscow, Russia, to do a leadership conference. Pastors from all over Russia came, about 2,000 of them. I'd flown all night long. I was totally worn out. I got right off the plane. The pastor picked me up and said, we got to go right to the conference center because they're waiting for you to speak right now. I'm like, I need a shower. I need a nap. I got cobwebs in my head. This is going to be a disaster. So on the way to the conference, I asked the pastor, who spoke at this conference last year? He said, oh, last year, Ravi Zacharias spoke. What an amazing move of God we had. I said, well, who spoke the year before that? He goes, oh, your dad, Pastor Tommy Barnett, came, and oh, heaven came down to the conference room. I'm like, I got to follow Ravi Zacharias and Tommy Barnett. This is going to be a bust, man. This is going to be terrible. So I get up there and pour my heart out. I didn't feel like it was what it needed to be. I felt like it just fell flat. I didn't even want to give an invitation for people to receive fresh revelation. I thought, man, this is going to be a disaster. But I'm just obedient. I just said, if anyone wants to receive a fresh revelation from God, I want to ask you just to step out. Out of the 2,000 pastors there, I think 1,900 of them came forward. And for the next 3 hours, I was laying hands on people and praying for them. It was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had in my ministry life. I went back to the hotel room, totally worn out. And I just got down on my knees. I just said, God, that was sick, God. What you did back then, that was just sick, God. I mean, you know my frailty. You know my faults. You know my humanity. And yet you choose to use someone like me to see results like that happen through. That was sick, God. But if you want to do it again tomorrow, I'm open. Amen. Let's just keep this going. And people ask me all the time, Luke, what keeps you fired up year after year after year? I'll tell you what it is. I have never in this world found a feeling that compares with the feeling of being used as an instrument in the hand of God. I just haven't. Have you? You show me a better feeling than that and I'll buy it. But I just can't find it. When the transcendent God is guiding your life, when he has you on a custom designed mission that fits who you are and it calls the absolute best out of you every single day, and you feel him using you to do something that you know you could never do on your own. Man, I have never found a feeling like that in this life. I'll just close with this one last story. A few years ago, there was a married couple from Hollywood who was experiencing enormous success early on in their careers. But then this Christian couple, they start to feel that slow dose of dying happening on the inside of them. Despite all their success, they felt that perishing happening. So they decided to do a very courageous thing. They got honest before God about it. And they got honest with each other about it. And these two very successful people laid themselves before God. And they got on their knees like little school kids. And they said, God, would you please pour your fresh bucket of vision into our lives. So they prayed and they fasted for a season. And then they entered that frustrating season when you feel like this is the way God wants you to go, but there's a dead end, you know. So they're just trying to figure it all out. But then the clouds finally cleared and God assigned to them an overwhelming challenge, one with breathtaking amounts of impact if they could just pull it off. But this would be the single hardest thing that either of them had ever attempted in their professional careers. Well, we heard about what they were doing, so we invited them to come to our dream conference in Phoenix, Arizona, to speak to thousands of pastors, and they agreed to come. In the green room before they spoke, they began to share about this dream, this huge project that God had called them to. It was so massive that they looked into our eyes and said, Pastors, we got to ask you a question. Are we nuts for trying this? Have we, like, drank the wrong kind of Kool-Aid or something? Have we lost our minds? And my dad looked him right in the face. This is what he said. I am so proud of you two. I mean, look at yourselves right now. You're worn out because you've been working 18-hour days on this project. You're scared spitless because this is the biggest thing that God's ever called you to do. And you got all your resources wrapped up in this thing, and it could fail. And neither of you have experienced too much failure in your lives. But check your pulse rates right now. Read your adrenaline printouts. What I see, Dad says, is two hearts bursting with spiritual excitement over what God might do if this project works out. What they were experiencing, my friends, is something called vision. Vision is simply a picture of your future that produces passion in you. I'll say it again. Vision is a picture of your future that produces passion in you. And that is what this couple was experiencing. They were seeing something in their future that was going to impact God's kingdom, that was going to help people, and it was producing boatloads of passion inside their lives. So my dad looked right at him and said, I want to speak a word of encouragement over you right now. I pronounce you two to be spiritually healthy and sane in the name of Jesus. I see no signs of perishing inside of you guys at all. You are living the very kind of lives that Jesus promised to those who would do his bidding and follow him fully. Life in all of its fullness, not life in all of its easiness, the other kind of life, just that passion-filled, heart-thumping, God-centered, expectation-oriented life.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.